50 years ago this summer, long before Ferguson, riots broke out in cities around the country, sparked by confrontations between black residents and their predominantly white police forces. NPR's Hansi Lo Wang of our Code Switch team looks back at the summer of 64.
In Philadelphia, it began after dark in late August.
You know, it was a hot day and you just wasn't too much activity, you know, in the hood, as they say.
Kenneth Salam was 15 years old in 1964. He was hanging out on his block with friends when police cars began zipping by one after another. He ran towards the action.
It's crowds of people, police, and then you're hearing glass breaking, and now I know it's a riot. Didn't know what started it, you know, with so many rumors as people was coming. What happened? What's going on, man?
What happened was the start of 3 days of rioting in one of Philadelphia's predominantly black neighborhoods. It made news around the country, like in this New York City radio broadcast by WOR.
What began as a minor traffic dispute last night in a Negro section of Philadelphia has since resulted in rioting and looting with damage running to more than $500,000.
That incident involved a white police officer trying to remove a black woman from a car that had stalled at an intersection. Kenneth Salam says conflicting accounts of what happened quickly spread through the streets.
To hear a white police officer hitting a black woman, I mean, that's enough to take the lid off that pot that's been boiling.
In another version of the story, the woman had been shot and killed.
It was a false rumor, but it captured a feeling that had been present all summer in that community.
Matthew Countryman, author of Up South, Civil Rights and Black Power in Philadelphia, says anger over police brutality and chronic poverty sparked many residents to hurl bricks, bottles, and rocks at the police, and some looted neighborhood stores. Just weeks before the chaos, President Lyndon Johnson had signed the Civil Rights Act into law. But Countryman says that wasn't enough to lift the hopes of many African Americans struggling in the nation's cities.
We're so focused on the desegregation of the South, we miss the national story of unequal opportunity that was a national experience for African Americans at the time.
The summer of 1964 began with unrest in New York City. Clashes in Harlem and Bedford-Stuyvesant between protesters and police officers prompted by a familiar tragedy.
There was the killing of an unarmed minority youth by a police force that was almost entirely white.
Kathy Schneider is the author of Police Power and Race Riots.
What New York shows is that when police behave in minority communities like an occupying army, we are likely to see eventually an egregious act of violence.
In the aftermath of New York, Martin Luther King Jr. spoke about the responsibilities of black leaders in that moment of crisis.
We must vigorously condemn the violence and lawlessness of the Negro community. On the other hand, we must be equally vigorous in appealing to the white power structure to give us some concrete victories.
That message was hard for some African Americans to accept.
We had reached a point in this community that people were screaming, no longer talking to each other, they were screaming at each other.
Constance Mitchell was 36 and the first black woman elected locally as a county supervisor when violence erupted in Rochester, New York that same summer. Those riots left 5 dead, hundreds injured, and almost 1,000 in custody after police tried to arrest a drunken man. The distrust between a mostly white police force and black residents fueled the riots. Mitchell says the last 2 weeks in Ferguson proved that same feeling is alive and dangerous today.
You mean to tell me 50 years have gone by and we're still in the same boat? So much time has gone by. Did we learn anything from that?
In Ferguson and across the nation, communities are still waiting for the answer. Hansi Lo Wang, NPR News.